Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
All right, this is how you know a betting number is a number maybe to pounce on. That if it's enough to have Seth Payne text me while he's out for these next few days. We get these emails, and we'll get to the Astros here in a second, I promise. We get these emails from a PR guy named Jimmy Shapiro, who's a friend of the show. We've seen him at Radio Row over here. Jimmy's a great guy. And he represents some betting outlets, and they send out numbers for different over-unders and spreads throughout the year and some fun ones and things like that. He just sent out season totals on stats for something like 100 different players in the NFL. Sacks, interceptions, total tackles. There's four Texans on this list. Aziz Alshire, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, and Derek Stingley Jr. They're all on this list under different stat categories. Seth texts me, and he's like, where do I pound over 9.5 sacks for Danielle Hunter this coming season?
Yeah. It feels like he's close.
You're betting on health at that point.
Yeah, he's feel like he's close to automatic for that. Like, he's a solid 11-sack bet. I mean, he's had 16.5 or so in a season.
He's
before.
Double digits almost every year in the NFL. Yeah. He's been around for damn near a decade now. Yeah, like and he showed no signs last year of slowing down at all. If anything, this was like a somewhat. It feels weird to say because the Vikings in recent years have been a more successful team than the Texans. Hell, the Texans have never beaten the Vikings. But it did feel like last year was kind of a coming out party for Danielle Hunter in that he was playing in some more high-profile games, and maybe I'm misjudging that, but it feels like a lot more people are and were paying attention to what Danielle Hunter is doing with the Texans than anything he was ever doing with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Vikings had some success, a little bit of success while he was there,
sure.
But this is arguably, I should say last year's team was arguably the most high-profile team that he had been on.
I think so, too.
Given what all they had done, like, I think it helps the context of Danielle Hunter already being Danielle Hunter when he gets there. And it's like, oh, they got Danielle Hunter. Oh, they got Stephon Diggs. Oh, they got Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, they're bringing back all of these young players,
yep,
who were excellent as rookies. Oh, they got new rookies that are really good.
Yeah.
Like, I think all of that coming together made it a little bit more high profile.
Danielle Hunter's number is 9.5. It sounds like you would pound the over.
Yes.
It sounds like you might even run it and actually,
yeah,
go do that.
Yeah, I'm itching to do so.
Yeah. Yep.
Before they change the
14
number.
Minutes in the segment left still, B. Scott.
Damn it.
What do you think their number is for Will Anderson Jr.?
For sacks?
I've got it in front of me here. What do you think it is?
I'm going to go 11.5.
It's 11.5? Give the man a ding.
It's funny because I waffled on that because I was at first going to go lower, but I'm like, no, I feel like the money's going to be higher on his upside and being a younger player, an emerging player, if you will.
Yeah.
So it'd be smarter to go over. So, yeah, I just picked the number there. 11.5 is the over-under. That's an interesting number.
Would you go over or under? I think that's exactly what he had last year, if I'm not mistaken. He was in that neighborhood. He got double-digit. I know that.
Yeah, I am just a huge, huge Will Anderson fan.
He's my favorite player on the team.
Yes, mine too. Same. Yeah. So we're in the same boat there. Yeah, this would be one where I'd be betting my heart and head there. My brain is telling me yes, and my heart is certainly telling me yes. Bet on Will Anderson.
It's over or a no play for me. I'm not betting on failure for Will Anderson Jr.
I like that.
Yeah, not doing it.
I agree.
I'll rapid fire the other two at you since we're on this topic. Derek Stingley Jr., how many interceptions do you think the number is?
Ooh, this one's going to be the harder one for me. 4.5.
2.5.
2.5.
2.5.
All right. I was being a little too gracious.
I wasn't going to do that, but Ben, yeah.
It was wrong. Yeah. I'll take the ding when I'm right.
You're allowed to be wrong, but you have to be within a certain percentage, and you're like almost like double off. Yeah.
And look, I picked way over.
No, that's true.
I'm drinking all of the Texans Kool-Aid with extra sugar that you can get today.
And I go over on that, too, just because, Stingley, I think I would be like, oh, well, he just has to get three picks. He had two against Tua in one game.
I was going to say, he's known to get a couple in a game.
That is they are not going to target him as much this year kind of number.
Yeah.
Feeling is what that is, I think.
Well, and here's another thing, too, that you got to remember. The Texans play the Jags twice a year, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's still the case?
Yes.
Which means, presumably, he's going to go against Trevor Lawrence.
Oh.
And he likes to pick off Trevor Lawrence.
Pick machine. That's true. He does like doing that. He was doing that even during his rookie year.
Yeah. So there's at least one.
Yeah.
You know?
Good call.
Scratch that one off.
The only other one is tackles. I have no feel on that. They have Azeez Al-Shaair over under 120.5 tackles.
120, I don't know.
I have no clue.
He's going to get a lot of tackles.
The problem for Azeez Al-Shaair is the next time he takes somebody's head off, are they going to suspend him for 6 games, for 8 games, for a season?
He's got a reputation.
He's got a rep, man.
And apparently had one already before we really, really knew how known or spoken of the rep actually was.
Yeah.
So all of that is there. But look, if the bet was lead the team in tackles, I guess that's not, a bold bet there to say that the Mike linebacker and the team captain on defense is going to lead the team in tackles. But I think he's definitely going to lead them in tackles. Is it going to be, 120.5?
120.5. I have no idea. I think he had 161 season. His season with the Titans.
Yeah.
He had a boatload of tackles. Tackles is one that I'm just not, I don't care.
Yeah.
This Isak Paredes injury. I know yesterday was a good day for the Astros overall. They win 11-3. They kind of keep Seattle at arm's length. They're headed to Arizona now to take on the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are starting three guys whose ERAs are all in the high fours or low fives. Now, one of them is Zach Gallen tonight, who's historically he's been a Cy Young candidate.
Right.
He hasn't been able to put it together this season. And the Diamondbacks are an interesting team because I think they're being viewed right now as a team that could be big time sellers here at the trade deadline. You know, the Astros scouting any of these guys that they're looking at. The interesting one, I don't think they've got the ammo to go do it. But Suarez, their third baseman, is one of the real plums that a lot of the big teams are looking at here at the trade deadline. He's third in the league in home runs right now, I think, behind Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh, or third in the majors. And I don't think the Astros are in the running to get him. I think they'll easily get outbid by somebody who wants him. But third base is now a problem for this team.
Yeah.
And how big a problem, we're going to find out here. I would imagine in the next day or two, with Isak Paredes having been sent back to Houston yesterday to come home and get an MRI. And I want to applaud the Astros for actually using their MRI machine
this
time.
There you go.
Way to dust off. I just picture them walking over and blowing like dust off the top of it.
Yeah.
Like, wow, we really should have used these before we misdiagnosed several of these other injuries.
It's cobwebs inside of it. They're knocking them down. No spiders, just webs.
It's old enough. There's like a crank on the side of it that they're cranking it up like an Edsel or something like that. Like, let's get this MRI. How worried are you about this Isak Paredes injury?
Very.
Right now? Yeah, I am very, too. Very, I did not like the way he pulled up.
Very, very worried. And even just the fact that, and we, I think, make fun of and sometimes get frustrated with the Astros for not being as open and as transparent as they can be about injuries. But I will credit them for just being candid about it with Isak Paredes himself with his translator, and then Joe Espada in his subsequent media availability saying that A, it didn't look good, or it doesn't look good, and B, or maybe this was actually A and that was B, but A, Isak Paredes himself saying that it feels worse than the last one did.
Yep.
Remember the last time he put, it was the other hamstring, and he was ready to go out there the next day. He's like, oh, I'll be ready. You know, Joe, I'll be ready to go.
They gave him the weekend off.
And they gave him the weekend off, yeah. But he felt well enough to at least do the tough guy thing of, hey, I'm ready to go. Yeah. And there was none of that in this. No. Like, it felt worse than last time. I got to go back to Houston to check it out. And it took a much more somber tone this time around than it did the last time around, which makes me worried. Now, I am glad that it's happening before the trade deadline as opposed to, after the trade deadline. But that still doesn't make me feel great.
No.
Especially given where the Astros are with their injuries.
This has to be a super tough trade deadline for a GM to navigate right now, for Dana Brown to navigate, just given the timing of some of these pitchers that are on the comeback trail. It would be really nice to know. Like, look, we know Spencer Arrighetti had a rehab start in Corpus this weekend, and he looked good. He pitched three scoreless innings, struck some guys out. Luis Garcia pitched two scoreless innings, struck a couple guys out. His throwing motion just looks so drastically different to me. Like, he looks like he's shot putting the ball up there. I don't know what to make of that.
Is that supposed to make him better? Is that safer? I don't know what's going on.
Or is that just something like, is that
an effect?
Is that how it feels?
Right.
You know, like, is that how is he protecting his elbow in some way? Now, he is the one out of all these guys, too, though, that's had to change his routine just based on the changes in baseball with the pitch clock and how they're being more vigilant about the, you know, sliding on the rubber and the balking and things like that. He had that whole rock the baby. He had that deliberate windup that took so long.
But it's never good when a dude changes his windup and you're like, is he doing that on purpose?
Yeah. Now, if he's striking guys out and if he's getting results, then
keep doing it.
He can throw underhand for all I care.
Sure.
Javier is the one that I think I'm getting, allowing myself to get super optimistic about. It sounds like he's been, you know, hitting peak velocities on the gun. But as far as Dana Brown goes, this has got to be really difficult to navigate because you're in this in-between phase with Yordan Alvarez. You're in this kind of just getting back phase with some of these pitchers. So we know that their pitching rehab starts, but we don't know what it's going to look like when they get to the big league level. Can you trust them that it's going to, especially the guys who are Tommy John, who've been out for a year, in the case of Garcia, 2 years. You know, Arrighetti's the one that I probably trust the most right now just because his was a fluky hand injury, you know, a thumb injury, but which is really weird to say that I trust Arrighetti more than two guys who were mainstays on a World Series winner a few years ago, you know. So Yordan, Pena, you know, I'm confident he'll be back soon, but they're taking it slow with him. This is all happening with the trade deadline like 9 days away right now.
Yeah, so
with a team that doesn't have a ton of dry powder to go make big deals with.
Yeah, and to be fair, they've been that way for a long time, but because of that, they're even more so that way now because every year this seems to come up in some form or fashion where they're buyers at the deadline, and we all talk about how the farm system is barren. They don't have a lot of prospects to offer, but they somehow find a way to offer just enough, whether that's prospects or guys that are already on the roster or whatever it is, and they figure it out. But, man, like if you had asked me this or asked me before the season, who's the one guy that the Astros can't afford to lose for an extended period of time, I would have said Yordan Alvarez for good reason, right? For, like, obvious reasons.
He's their best player.
Because he's Yordan Alvarez, right? Well, they've been without Yordan Alvarez since May 2nd, and they're leading the American League West. They're one of the better teams in the American League, and they seem like a contender.
They've been without him all year, really.
They've been without him all year.
He wasn't good when he was around.
Exactly. Yeah. What they haven't been without, and who's been somewhat of a revelation and a saving grace for them, is Isak Paredes.
Yeah.
They're arguably most consistent guy in the lineup. So that's the one guy that I feel like now, and this is fast forwarding from before the season to now, where we are with the information we have today, he's the one guy that I feel like they can't be without for an extended period of time.
It's the crazy thing. Like, Mauricio Dubon's value to this team is getting so accentuated. And it's not like he's putting up dynamite offensive numbers or anything. He's excellent defensively. That's inarguable. But in the past, anytime any one of these one-offs comes up, you're like, well, just put Dubon there. You know, he'll play for, you know, when Altuve breaks his hand before the season in the World Baseball Classic, well, Dubon plays second base for you, and he was he was fine. He was an average major. You bring in a replacement guy like that, if they're average, that's good. So
when they didn't have an answer in center field, Dubon can be the personal throwing center fielder for Justin Verlander.
For Justin Verlander, that's right. That's right. So weird. They've got like four situations going on right now that are just put Dubon there situations.
Yeah, they need four of him.
They need four Dubons right now.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just to plug the hole. I'm not saying like Dubon, boy, you need four of him because he's going to get you 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. He's not. But you need four of him because you at least need a competent big leaguer there. That's where maybe the value in Dubon has been accentuated this year, is that you've had a chance to see what it looks like when you have, like, you joke around about a guy being a replacement player or replacement level player or whatever. No, we've had a chance to see what not even replacement looks like across multiple spots in the lineup for way too many days this season so far.
Yeah, and to their credit, they've actually, all things considered and within its proper context, they've actually done pretty well considering the fact that they shouldn't be in these positions to begin with. Some of these players that are being thrust into these positions shouldn't be there to begin with. Like the shorts of the world and Tremels and all these guys that are out there, and you're like, well, wait a minute, where does this guy fit into things? All things considered, they've done pretty well. And even with that, you're like, man, when do the real guys come back?
Yeah.
Like, when can we get some of these real guys back? So the Isak Paredes news is huge. And like, honestly, if he's not going to be around for an extended period of time, that to me is debilitating.
Yep. Text messages coming in. Think about it, Sean. This is going back to the Texans over under of 9.5 wins. If they sweep the division, that's 6 wins. They only need to win 4 of their remaining 11 games to get over 9.5. People underestimate the difficulty of sweeping even a bad division.
There you go.
They lost to the Titans at home last year. Yeah. Like, this is the Texans are a good football team. They are a way better football team than they were before D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud got here. I'm not breaking any news. They are not a good enough football team to where you just pencil in 6-0 in the division.
Yeah, I'm not predicting them to sweep the division because of how difficult that is, because of how squirrely some of these division matchups end up. You mentioned the Titans game. Those Jags games are always interesting. The season opener against the Colts, I know they won that game, so we kind of just act like it didn't. But it was close for a second there. Anthony Richardson with three plays almost was able to win that game for them, not even really playing that well. So that happened.
Forget about that Colts game. The Colts game in week 8, the one that Diggs got hurt in.
Oh, yeah.
They won by 3, and they needed Anthony Richardson to throw one of the most boneheaded picks of all time right before the half to get a touchdown. Like, he threw that pick to Jalen Petrie right before the half, and they gifted them 7 points in a 3-point win at home.
Yeah.
So that's I love your optimism.
One of the rare ties that we've seen in Texans history happened against the division
against the Colts
to start the season. Yeah, I mean, like, it's
it was a semi win, Michael Irvin. That's right.
But doesn't count as a win.
Does not count. Nope. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, Brandon Scott in for Seth Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. All right, I saw a graphic on social media that had the most hated player by all 32 NFL fan bases. I don't know, man. I hate this guy, but I don't know that he's the most hated for Texan fans. We'll see if you agree. Get your typing fingers ready, everybody. We'll do that coming up next.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Payne and Pendergast, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. All right, couple items here that we got to get to before we get to the most hated player of Houston Texan fans, according to a graphic on social media, which if that's the case, it's got to be true. Will Levis, season-ending shoulder surgery. That's 22 minutes ago on ESPN. Thank you to a texter who just alerted us to that. Yeah, Will Levis to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Okay, so this is a story that's relevant here, obviously because the Titans are in the division. We know they drafted Cam Ward with the number one overall pick, and I would imagine we're planning on playing him this coming season and Will Levis being the backup. But I think two things, B. Scott. I think one, this does give you a little bit less of a net to operate with Cam Ward. Will Levis has not been, and obviously he's not been good since coming in the NFL. They were picking number one in the draft for a reason.
Right.
But he does have some experience, and if something were to happen to Cam Ward, that would be, I would imagine, the next guy to go to. I don't know what their depth chart looks like. The number two thing to me is just, man, it just goes to show you the randomness of injuries in an NFL season. They drafted Will Levis 2 years ago, the same draft that the Texans took C.J. Stroud. They took him with, I believe, the first or second pick of the second round.
It was the first pick. It was the 33rd overall pick, which at one point did belong to the Texans.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So they drafted him 2 years ago to be the franchise quarterback. I think you draft somebody in the second round, that's your guy. Not as big an exclamation point as Cam Ward or C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
But they drafted him to be the starter. That's why they made him the starter for a couple of years.
They had Malik Willis out there the year before.
They did have Malik Willis. They drafted him in the third round the year before that. Thank you.
So, yeah, that they definitely drafted him to be the guy.
To be the guy. If he had worked out, Will Levis, think of the story. This is a major story if he had actually worked out to be the starter there. Like that. This is and the reason I bring that up, because I know people are going to be like, yeah, but he didn't, Sean. That's a huge hypothetical. It just goes to show you like how precarious a season can be. And that Will Levis, they're not super relying on him. Cam Ward's the guy that needs to work out. But this could happen to any quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, this could happen to anybody. And your season changes like that. The Titans season isn't changing, but if that were to happen to any number of other teams, boom, just like that.
Well, I looked at it from this standpoint, how grateful I am that out of the three quarterbacks drafted in the division in that season, all three of them this offseason apparently had some kind of shoulder issue, and we were making a lot about it with C.J. Stroud when it was happening in OTAs and minicamp, and it turns out that C.J. Stroud has the least of the shoulder concerns out of the three guys, right? Yep. Like, Anthony Richardson stuff ended up shutting him down and being what seemed like a little bit more of an issue for him than it was for C.J. And then, obviously, with Will Levis having season-ending shoulder surgery, that speaks for itself, his issue being the greatest. I'm glad that out of the three guys, the one that's in Houston has the least of the concerns with the shoulder issues.
And he's the best player of the three.
And he's the best one of the three on top of it.
That helps too.
Yep.
All right, so if you had to guess, you've looked at this graphic already. Who would you name? Let me ask you this. This graphic says every fan base's most hated player. Now, how are they curating this, you know? How are they, you know, is it social media hits? I don't know. These are just fun things to talk about. I don't know. I don't really like this guy. And he's the most hated player for a handful of teams on here. At least four that I can count. Maybe five. But before I get to who that person is, who's your most hated player?
So, like, if I go, and it looks like you're allowed to do this based off of this graphic. So if I can go with guys who don't play anymore, if I can expand the list a little bit, mine is going to be easily Peyton Manning. And it ain't personal. It's just as a Texans fan and being a Texans fan in the height of the Peyton Manning era and what that meant for the Texans. It's got to be that guy. I don't know how it could be anybody else.
You're allowed to do that on this because there are at least two or three teams who have Tom Brady as the most hated.
Yeah.
Jets, Dolphins, Falcons.
Yeah.
Because of one game.
Yeah.
Eli Manning is the most hated for the Patriots on here. So, yeah.
Yeah. I would go Peyton Manning and T.Y. Hilton would be a close second.
Yeah.
And a pretty good contender for number one.
Yep. They're on my list. Courtland Finnegan, I think if we were to put this out to a vote, it would be a dead heat between Peyton Manning and Courtland Finnegan.
And see, I can't hate Courtland Finnegan as much because I feel like he got his. You know what I mean?
Oh, I got you.
I feel like the hate is there, but I feel like he already got his punishment. He doesn't need my hate on top of it. I'm sure he's still feeling Andre's fist and forearms on the side of his dome.
That's true. Where does Derrick Henry fit in for you? He's the one who's dominated the Texans the most over the last 5 or 6 years.
Definitely hated watching him. Now,
it's like the new Peyton, you know?
So the thing with Derrick Henry, for as big and as imposing of a figure as he is, he's so like quiet and gentle-like, it seems like. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to hate him, but definitely hated watching the Texans defense try to tackle him.
Yeah.
Or I should say more accurately, fail to tackle him.
So Patrick Mahomes is the one they have as the most hated player for Houston Texan fans. Is that I'm trying to figure out what that's based on. Like, yeah, the Chiefs knocked the Texans out of the playoffs last year, but it wasn't because of Mahomes. I'm wondering if, similar to Tom Brady being the most hated for the Falcons because of one bad night,
yeah,
if the historic 24-0 collapse in the 2019 season, January 2020.
Right.
In that game, would that be a reason enough for Texan fans to have Patrick Mahomes be the, like, I don't like Patrick Mahomes because he's corny. I don't dislike him because he dominates the Texans.
So this was the only logic that I could follow in making Patrick Mahomes the guy, being the most hated player by the Texans, would be that twice now he has derailed what could have been a Texans run to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we can all look back on 2019 and see the flaw in the logic and how it is that the Texans probably weren't going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they were up 24-0 against the team that did, in fact, win the Super Bowl. And I think we could make a credible argument that last year's team, albeit, you know, they took a step back and they were injured by the time we got to the playoffs, but it was one of their more talented and better assembled Texans teams that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so just by that logic alone, they would be a contender out of all the Texans teams that we've ever seen to make a run. So two of the best Texans teams that we've seen, or more productive Texans teams that we've seen, have run into the Patrick Mahomes issue. Now, is that enough to make him hate it?
Most hated?
I'm not quite sure, but that would be the only logic I could follow. But along the same logic, I think you could maybe look at, you know, I know it wasn't the playoffs, but it feels like Lamar Jackson has been a much bigger issue for the Texans, at least as of late, in terms of going from here to there.
Yeah.
So what gets Patrick Mahomes there that doesn't get Lamar Jackson there? Is it just that one guy is less likable than the other? I'm not sure.
Tom Brady is the most hated for the Falcons, the Colts, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Seahawks, and the Steelers.
Steelers, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is the most hated for Buffalo. I get that. Playoff experiences. Cincinnati, again, probably playoff factoring into that. They went back and forth a couple years in a row in the playoffs. Denver's got to be a division thing. Mahomes for the Texans, we just talked about that. Chargers got to be a division thing. And San Francisco, that's a Super Bowl thing. Beat them twice in the Super Bowl. So Brady and Mahomes, both the most hated for six of these teams. There are no Texans that are the most hated for another team, except for one former Texan, DeAndre Hopkins, most hated for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I could see that.
I like that because that means he slapped Jalen Ramsey around a few times back in the day.
That's exactly it.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's got to be. Now, but I am confused. Like, some of this is division, but like if I follow that logic, like you tell me right now.
Yeah.
Who's more hated? And we already laid out how Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, knocked the Texans out of the postseason, out of the playoffs twice now. But who would you hate more, Patrick Mahomes or, say, like Trevor Lawrence, who you see? And I know Trevor Lawrence
is not
problematic, but he's somebody that I don't like because he's on the team that we play twice a year and he's the anointed one.
Yeah.
Whereas the quarterback that's here seems like he's better but didn't come into the league with as much hype.
So that
would be my one over Patrick Mahomes.
For sure. No, I will always, always, always respect somebody who's actually accomplished things. But I don't dislike, you know, like my dislike for Mahomes is just his vibe. Like I find him just to be a little cringy and corny. I'm not denying the fact that he's got the best chance of becoming this generation's Tom Brady in terms of overall accomplishment.
Yeah, he's on his way.
But yet, no, Trevor Lawrence hasn't done anything in the NFL. He made the playoffs one year. He had one good stretch of football at the end of his second year, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Trevor Lawrence is living off of the hype at Clemson and Justin Herbert and the Chargers cratering in the playoffs.
Yes.
I think those are his claims to fame right now.
No question. No question. Okay, the funniest one on here, the Packers' most hated player, the Tush Push.
The Tush Push.
That's a troll job right there.
Gotta be.
100%.
Gotta be.
People weighing in. F you, Dwight Freeney. Okay. Uh-huh. That's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah. Let's see. T.Y. Hilton's getting some love or hate, however you want to frame it here. Someone says, Z-Trip Dave, loyal listener. Levis injured himself trying to balance himself on those mayonnaise jars. That would have been more of a groin thing. That was when they had him doing the splits on top of some mayonnaise jars.
That's hilarious.
Is that the most... Like, as far as, like, deserved endorsements, like, he got that basically because he puts mayonnaise in his coffee. He wasn't good at football.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
It is... I don't know about deserved.
And yet they were funny commercials.
But it is reflective of the time, right? Like, you don't...
Yeah.
Fame and notoriety does not... Like, it's a style over substance type of... era that we're in. Fame and notoriety does not equal competence or being good at your job.
Someone says, Nino in Nashville says, I'd say Albert Pujols or Chipper Jones. I get what you're saying. This is not most hated athlete. It's most hated football player.
But on behalf of Houston sports fans everywhere, I can identify with that one.
Yep, no question. Patrick Mahomes is hated because of the penalties he drew and draws. Okay, well, if that's the case, he could be the most hated player for all 31 other fan bases.
Yeah, see, so, like, I wonder if the hatred is directly tied to how that player impacts your team or just how this fan base feels about a particular player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe just aside from whatever the impact is on the Texans or whatever the relationship is with the Texans, maybe it is that just Texans fans don't rock with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, independent of the team result.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. B. Scott in for Seth Payne. Keep texting in, 713-572-4610. We will we will keep taking a look at those. All right, we're going to get you ready for this. We got to turn the page. Big win for the Astros yesterday, but we got to turn the page, take a look at this Arizona series and the upcoming schedule for the Astros. What's our anxiety level right now, four games back for the Seattle Mariners with the four-game gap compared to what it would have been for just a two-game gap? We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop, question of the day, and so forth as we roll on here on a Monday on Sports Radio 610. Stay there.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
All right, we still got people weighing in on the most hated foe for the Houston Texans through the years, because this is, several teams have Tom Brady as theirs. Eli Manning is the one for New England. We had a texter just text in. Is it fair to say Deshaun Watson is the most hated player for the Texans fan base? I would say not only is that fair to say that he is, Patrick Mahomes is in this particular exercise that we're looking at on Twitter, B. Scott. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. Deshaun Watson is the most hated for the Cleveland Browns on here.
How about that?
Boy, that talk about something that did not work how you drew it up on the chalkboard.
No.
$230 million guaranteed, 5 years. Here's three first-round picks and a bunch of day three picks.
Yeah.
And we're off to the races. Yeah, either that or in 3 years. In 3 years, he will not only be your fan base's most hated player, but he will have devoted far more time over the course of a month to posting things about his wedding on social media than he did in the 3 years he was the quarterback of your team posting about football combined. Which is fine. Love your wife. That's great and everything. You know, but it's just, boy, his wedding is inescapable on social media. It happened like 3 weeks ago. He's still posting about it now.
Dude, the Browns gave up their present and their future for a social media influencer.
Yes. You
know, like I was just mentioning
100%.
Reggie came in here during the break and we were chatting it up. I was mentioning Love Island. Like he could just as easily like just go and be on Love Island or do like a reality thing or, you know what I mean? Do influencer stuff.
Yeah.
And that would feel like it's more on brand than say him going out there and winning you a football game.
He's posted way more about expensive cars, fancy vacations.
Yeah, I mean
nice clothes than he has about football.
That's where his heart is. Like that's what he's into. The luxury living.
Yeah.
And you know, fortunate for him, he's got the money to do it.
He does.
Thanks to the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Who subsequently the fan base hates him for it.
Yeah, they hate him. Yeah, he's still on the team.
Yes.
Still on the team.
Still cashing those checks.
Hate the refs when we play Mahomes. Peyton Manning getting some appropriate hatred on the text page. Ed Reed for his inside job on the Texans.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Ed Reed.
Forgot about Ed Reed. That's
Reed
a good one.
And Deshaun Watson make far more sense than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And like, I think for more personal ways for Texans fans.
Yeah.
From a pure football standpoint, for me, just having lived it and being like a teenager through it,
mm-hmm.
it was Peyton Manning. Like
I
irrationally, and I've grown to like Peyton Manning a lot more after his playing career and come to learn like he's not somebody to hate at all.
No.
Okay.
No, he's very likable.
But as a Texans fan and given how good he was and what the Colts were, I could not stand the guy when he played. Hated him.
Love like a child, not hate. Stop the hate talk. Starting sentences with hell and damn. Okay. I don't know what that means.
Okay, mom.
Yeah, no, we're shifting gears. It's okay.
Get the hell out of here.
Sorry.
This is my mother?
Why is your mother listening to the show? Yeah.
Get out of here.
That was Seth Payne after an actual football game.
That was so greatly
John
timed
Granato interviewing him.
And having that on the ready.
Yeah. So they play Arizona, the Astros do, the next three nights. They're in Arizona. And then they come home, and boy, with a real opportunity, starting on Thursday this week, boy, they're in a stretch of a lot of straight games, too. For a team that's banged up, coming out of the All-Star break, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Seattle, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Arizona, Thursday through Sunday, the Athletics, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Nationals, and you get to August, and you finally get a day off on July 31st. And then you go up to Boston. You go on a 9-game road trip. So in terms of the sheer amount of baseball that they're going to be playing, it's a lot of baseball over the next 3 or 4 weeks for a team that's supremely banged up. But this is what you're dealing with right now. We get Colton Gordon tonight. Framber on Tuesday. And then the getaway day game against the Diamondbacks is going to be a Brandon Walter joint. So you got two of the potluck guys from Sugarland and sandwiched around Framber Valdez. I am not going into this with the I'll be happy to take one just to keep Seattle at bay. You got to start to get back on the winning the series train that you have fallen off of since I got back from Jamaica.
Yeah.
That's when they fell off of the winning the series train. Seth and I did a segment the day I got back that said, when will the next time be that the Astros lose a series?
Yeah, because they had won so many consecutively at that point.
13 that they'd either won or split. They'd not non-lost.
They had not lost one.
Not lost a series since May 21st, I think it was. And now they haven't won a series since we did that fateful segment on this.
Yeah.
They got to get back on track in this one, B-Scott, is what I'm saying.
It is a drastic switch to be in, to go from can't lose a series to can't win one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that has not been that long ago. So I'm in a weird spot when you were going through those pitching matchups, or at least going through who's going to be pitching for the Astros.
Yeah.
It's weird, and this is kind of a development from the weekend, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to be in, well, at least it's not McCullers that's out there for them. In a series that it feels like they got to have, or certainly that you really, really want them to have, that I feel better about these previously unknown rookie guys or young guys as opposed to the more established Lance McCullers Jr. Like Framber squeezed in between Colton Gordon and, and a Brandon Walter start to me makes me feel a lot better about their chances than say if they had Lance McCullers out there, which is not a great place to be in. I guess maybe more so, you know, also a credit to those guys. But to the point, man, they absolutely have to take care of business here because, to me, I'm not here for just dismissing a series or just dismissing a game 162. When you're in a race like this, all the pieces matter. I think last year was a great example of, you know, when you watch them win the division at the end of the year. Okay, so that means not one of the 162 that they didn't win or that they won could they have afforded to lose. They needed every single win they got to get there. So, like, in the grand scheme of things, if you take the bird's eye view, you're like, oh, it's just one of 162.
Yeah.
But if you really, really think about it, you kind of need all of these. You need, you know, all of the pieces matter here.
To your original question a minute or so ago, I trust Colton Gordon and Brandon Walter more than I do Lance McCullers now.
Same.
And I don't agree with Lance's answers to when he gets asked about this stuff after games. The last couple of games have been very similar. He hasn't been able to make it to the fourth inning, and he's up to 80 or 90 pitches. Yeah. Like, he's just his pitch. He's walking guys.
Yeah, he doesn't
he's
have
hitting
command.
Guys. Yeah, he's got no command. Yeah, like it's so they've looked very similar. And when he gets asked about it, again, I understand his answer. His answer is something along the lines of, "Boy, you know, just like last game, it comes down to I get two strikes, two outs, and I just can't get this last guy out." And I think that ignores the fact that the reason why those pitches and sequences are so key is because you've been so bad on the guys leading up to that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to overstate it and say it's a disingenuous answer. I think Lance is trying to stay positive. You know, I really admire what he's done to get back. Like, it would have been very easy for Lance McCullers to take his $85 million and go home these last couple of years. So in terms of doing what it's taken, overcoming setbacks within the rehab,
he cares. You can
he
tell.
Cares. Yeah. And so and he cares deeply about the city too. Like he's as Houston as any of these guys in terms of wanting to be here, loving being here, loving the city, doing things for the city, all that stuff. But the fact of the matter, if he believes what he's saying, then I would say to him, like, no, it's not that situation. Like, yeah, if you get that guy out, then you get out of that inning. But it's the situations you're putting yourself in the first place. It's the you can't throw nearly 100 pitches in three innings and change and say, boy, if I just could have gotten this guy or I just could have gotten that guy like he did, not in this past start, but the one before that, the last one he had before the All-Star break, I think it was against the Rangers. And he gave up 5 runs in 3 innings. Like, that's not a, if I just get this guy thing. The only time you get a right to say, I made one mistake, if I just could have gotten this guy, is if you go like 7 innings, scatter 5 hits, but one of them happens to be a 3-run homer in the 6th or something like that. I made a mistake. If you pitch, by definition, if you threw 90 pitches in 3 innings, you've made a bunch of mistakes.
So he's always had some efficiency issues, but like you got to really watch and be able to tell the difference in the two stories. Like before, when Lance would miss the zone and would have these issues, you got the sense that he was trying to get guys to chase, that he was taking risks and he was, you know, pitching outside the zone on purpose, for whether it was the scouting report or his pitch specifically, feeling like he could fool the batter. Like, he's trying to get guys to chase. He's missing the zone now just flat out. Like, before it was less of a command issue and more of a strategy thing, whereas now it feels like it's far less of a he ain't doing this on purpose.
Right.
He's just flat out not commanding the zone anymore the way that he used to or the way that he certainly needs to at this point. And so that's the difference now of like, hey, you know what, you can't afford to try to get this guy to chase anymore. You need to be trying to pound that zone, and it feels like you're having a tough time doing so.
Questions on the text page. Are we overreacting to the Astros losing, or were we overreacting positively to them winning?
Yeah.
I think it's a good question. It's a complicated question because this is not, hopefully, whatever it is we're overreacting to is not the version of the team that we're hoping to see a month from now.
Yeah.
It's normally you can slough off injuries, like an injury here, an injury there, and you don't make it a topic. But this is just, there's so many of them now to such important players.
But then also a theme of the season has been how they overcome, right? Like, we've got all of these built-in excuses for the Astros that are real and that exist, But the cool thing about watching in this season is how at every turn they have been able to overcome said issues.
They have. I think if to answer the question, I think we overreacted more to them winning this version, like this banged up minor league laden version of the Astros. I think we thought, I say we, I mean, I'm not speaking for everybody in the room, but I know I probably thought they were better than they actually were. The slew of one-run games and the success in those one-run games is typically something that evens out kind of over time, especially for teams that are challenged offensively.
Yeah.
I don't think we're overreacting at all to the losing. I think I know why they're losing games right now.
Yeah, and I might have been overcorrecting for not thinking that they were that good in the first place. So, like, they...
You're all over the map.
Well, so by... I'm talking about in the beginning.
Yeah.
So by outperforming my original expectations and doing so with less of a squad than the one that had my low expectations to begin with, maybe I'm overcorrecting
there.
Dead
cap bounce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn, Astros got me on a roller coaster, and I'm a grown-ass man.
When do we decide Lance McCullers is washed as a starter and maybe looking at putting him into the bullpen for long relief? Well, washed is an interesting word. Like, if he's if the word washed is getting brought up, I don't know that I want him coming out to the mound to do either of those things.
We don't want him in heavy doses, low doses.
No. He's going to get a long leash as a starter.
Yeah,
he is going to get a long leash as a starter. Is my guess.
And if we're being, he's kind of earned it.
Yeah,
like you help a team win a couple of World Series, and I'm sorry, you get a little bit more rope.
Yep,
that's just the way it is. And I think he's earned that.
Yeah. What's up, fellas?
What's happening,
John Lopez, Reggie Atitula?
Yo,
both here. Reggie rocking his CJ Stroud Hope T-shirt there. Mm-hmm.
His CJ Stroud T-shirt is so much cooler than mine. I've got one that I don't wear. It's got like old English lettering on it, and I don't know. It kind of looks, I don't know. It looks a little janky. I don't wear it. It's the one Texan shirt that I don't think I've worn in public since I bought it.
The one piece of clothing I have with CJ Stroud's face on it is one that is depressing to look at now because it is the 713. Accompanied by Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell on that T-shirt.
Right.
And that's just...
Now you just need to airbrush it a little bit.
I guess. And find out who are...
Well, it could be him and Christian Kirk because Christian Kirk wears 13.
Remember we thought when Tank had 13 in training camp that year? They're like, oh, that's going to be cool. They can be 713.
Yeah.
Then Tank switches his number to 3.
Yeah.
I guess we got to go get Stephon Diggs now to be 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Solely for that reason.
Well, now, talking about efficiency.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk went in there, got the 1 and the 3 on
the
his
one
shirt.
And the 3. That's true.
I mean, we don't need 3 guys to make this
Ghostbuster
t-shirt.
Sign on one face and make the other one Christian Kirk.
There you go.
That's it. How we feeling, fellas?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
good weekend.
Great weekend.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic.
Good. What's the question of the day?
The question of the day is, boys, we're playing football this week. We made it. It's here.
Practice?
Yeah. Hell yes.
We're talking about practice.
We are.
Not a game.
Yes.
Not a game. Not
Hell
a game.
Not the game that you go out there and die for.
Right.
Because
we're talking about practice.
No, people are plugged
what
in,
we talking
dialed
about,
in. We're talking about practice.
Sorry, I had to get the whole way through.
What are you done with until next offseason?
What am I done with? That I can't do?
I'll give you an example.
You don't mean done with, like, I'm done with this guy.
I'm done with this thing.
Oh, I know what it
until
is.
Until next offseason.
Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, oftentimes. The wife says, "Hey, let's go to a nursery or a garden center." and for the longest time, I'm like, "Sure, let's go."
Yeah,
because she's all into she's all into plants and flowers and Well, you've seen my house. I mean, she does a lot of stuff. So I'm like, "Yeah, I'm in. Let's go to the garden center. Let's go to the nursery."
Huh?
Done.
Not doing.
Done till February.
Done till February.
Done till February.
Yeah. Doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. Oh, by the way, so when you go on those little journeys to the nursery or the garden. Do you do anything, or do you just stand there and support?
I don't mind it, because I mean, she does all the heavy lifting, so to speak, except the literal heavy lifting, and then she does such a good job. So I'm like, we have a garden that is off the charts.
Yeah,
have peppers and tomatoes. And
that's good.
And all this stuff.
And you like hanging out with each other, so it's just a thing to go.
Most
that's
of the time.
Good. Yeah, most of the time. I'm trying to put you over, John.
Have we asked Jan this?
We have not asked her this.
Does she get a say in this?
I feel like that's a part that we need.
I'll give you another one, and this might fit in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
Brunch on Sunday.
Yeah, brunch. Well, for sure. Amy and I like to go. It's one of my favorite things all week that we do. Amy and I go to either First Watch or Avalon Diner.
Yep.
One day, and we go the other one the other day. Mm-hmm. She likes one better than the other, and I like one better than the other. So we split it.
I think I know which one.
I'm a greasy spoon guy, man, but I love them both.
Yeah, they are both really good.
They're both really good, and you're 100% right. Even on Saturday, because I like to watch game days.
Oh, Saturday.
like sure, that? Definitely. Yeah, but yeah, Sundays yeah. for, I mean, she, Sundays I still go to Avalon.
Early.
As part of my ritual yeah. by myself
yeah.
when it opens at 7. I'm the first one there because I got to do pregame. Most games are noon, so I'm yeah. on the air at 9. The one for me, see, I don't have a ton of hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always get, I get a little self-conscious when people say, what hobby? What are your hobbies, Sean? And I'm like, wow, prepping for the show, drinking at Lizards.
Doing the show.
Doing yeah. the show. I get on the elliptical every now and then. I will not sacrifice exercise for football season.
Good. There we go.
I will
good.
Not do that. I want to be here covering this team for a long, long time. Honestly, probably a lot of like my day mm-hmm. escapades, going and having a few, you know, drink. Because I sleep better when I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I need better sleep during football season.
Yeah.
Just period, point blank, because yeah. there's so much stuff. So that'll probably be mine. Just I'll be a little less social
mm-hmm.
and the brunches and breakfast on Saturday and Sunday.
I can't yeah. see you being less social.
Mine has been binge watching.
Oh, that's a good
because
one.
Because the spare time that I use on binge watching will be used on, if not rewatching Texans games, I'll catch up on the games that I miss
yeah.
on Sundays because we're so locked in mm-hmm. on whatever the Texans are doing. So normally during football season, throughout the week, I'll go back with the NFL Premium and go back and watch some of yeah. the games throughout the week that I didn't get to really lock in on.
How do you generally watch that as somebody who also has the NFL Premium and then you get that little drop-down list of, do you want to watch the broadcast, do you want to watch the Spanish, the condensed version, the All-22? How do you typically take in those games?
Usually the condensed version. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I usually watch the condensed version. Now for the Texans, I'll watch like the whole broadcast.
Really?
Because I want to catch the Nuggets because we'll miss the broadcast. We're yeah. there at mm-hmm. the game.
Yep.
So I'll watch the whole broadcast for the Texans if I have time. Obviously, if time doesn't permit, then I'll watch the condensed version. But for the other... But the other ones, to kind of get through it, those are usually like 40 minutes, give or take. So I'll spend the 40 minutes on a different non-Texans-related game.
That's my one suggestion. I want to hear Reggie's in a second. But one suggestion for the Texans in the press box, if there was a way that we could hear the game broadcast through, you know, like...
Yeah, some, even just headphones.
Just or, the option yeah. to have it. Yeah, yeah. yeah. I suppose I could stream it on, you know... my DirecTV app or whatever.
Maybe the new stadium will have it.
Maybe.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah. Do you have one, Reggie?
That's a tease.
Are you going to save yours for 1040?
This is fun for me because I am a relatively young man of no real, like no children, no real, so like, for the most part, I can usually get most of the things that I want to get done yeah. at any given time of the year.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are things that I have not considered that I kind of do allow to fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out what exactly those are. Mm-hmm. So I will figure those out by 10:40.
Well, you guys brought up either Brandon or Reggie. I can't remember who. But when we were talking about this during the break, like all of a sudden, if you weren't devoting a lot of time to the Rockets before,
yeah.
which,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I was. I mean, I like the NBA and I... And they were a fun team to watch. There's going to be a lot of people now who are dipping back in. You know, getting in. I think the Rockets fan base is going to be all the way back in now
yeah.
with Kevin Durant. So there's some of that going on.
There ain't no wait until after Christmas to lock into the NBA
Correct.
Season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Durant's the biggest star in town now.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, and yeah. that's the thing that's funny because my brain puts it in the you know the framework of fatigue, which is not. It doesn't speak to how excited I actually am, but I'm like, damn, I'm going to be tired by November, December, because
yeah.
it's not just going to be locked in on Texans for, you know, the altitude that they're trying to achieve, but it's also right out the gate. You have to be interested in what the Rockets are doing just because there's a lot of new, trying to figure out what that is, and doing all of that simultaneously is indeed a lot.
This is the exact problem we want to have, boys.
Yes. 100%.
These are the good times. These are the times that are good.
Reggie's going to get to test that young single man.
Yeah.
It might just be everything that is not Rockets and Texans might be going by the wayside.
Maybe so. Crosstalk, that'll never go by the wayside.
Never.
It's no.
sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. So good, I'll say it twice. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. All right, Reggie, Brandon, B. Scott, thank you. I will see you tomorrow morning, my friend, 6 a.m.
Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it as well. So big thanks to B. Scott. Big thanks to all of you for listening. By the way, you're listening to KILT, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.